to his sacrifice on the cross.
It's pretty obvious why we had that first scripture reading today.
It's like having the great litany on the first Sunday of Lent. We hear the Ten Commandments. We think about keeping the Ten Commandments. We realize that really and truly, in all the permutations of them, we don't keep them. And of course, the Ten Commandments are not all the commandments there were in the scripture that Jesus in his time and we as followers of Jesus are told to follow. There were actually 613 rules, regulations, and laws to supplement and explain and elaborate on the commandments. So there's the commandment to show our love to God, the one and only God, and the supplements tell that we can show God our love by making sacrifices. And if you're going to make a sacrifice, you don't want to make a messy, dirty, uncaring sacrifice. You want to make a pure and holy sacrifice. So laws and details were written explaining that you had to buy a spotless and pure animal. And, of course, you have to keep a holy day, a holy Sabbath, so you can't be carrying that spotless animal from your little village far from the temple when you want to make a sacrifice in Jesus' time. So you buy it at the temple. But then there's the commandment, we can't have graven images. And, of course, the Roman coin had a picture of the emperor on it, a graven image, and the emperor said he was God. So you couldn't make a sacrifice in the temple with a coin that deified a human being instead of God. So all this stuff was set up in the temple to help people be to help people obey not just the Ten Commandments, but the 613 supplementary rules, regulations, laws, and other commandments. Well, along comes Jesus, and he makes a whip. And by the way, it doesn't say he makes a whip on people. It says he drove out the animals. And then turned the tables of the money changers over, and we hear this story in all four Gospels. It's a big event, not to be forgotten, and read every year in Holy Week. And when it's read in Holy Week, it's read because we read it with the understanding of what is in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Mark, and in the Gospel of Luke. And that is, Jesus made his victorious entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The crowds laid down their cloaks and said, "Hosanna in the highest," and praised him. But just 2 days later, he went to the temple and really made people mad. And that was the final thing to lead the Jewish authorities to go and conspire and to turn things around from the glory of Palm Sunday to the horror of Good Friday and the cross. So this event was a turning point of Jesus going from great adulation to Jesus going to the cross. Well, except today we didn't read Matthew, Mark, or Luke. We read the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, if you looked in your programs, you might have noticed it's chapter 2. It's chapter 2. So in the Gospel of John, the event of turning over the tables in the temple was put there with a different meaning for us to think about this Lent and always. All that happened so far in the Gospel of John is Jesus was baptized and he called his first disciples.
not what God's all about. Jesus says he's come to change the way the beliefs of people. Instead of doing their worship in the temple, he says, destroy this temple and I'll raise it in 3 days. He will become the new temple. And he's saying this from the very beginning of his ministry. I have come to change the way that you live in relation to God and each other. Remember when the temple was there in Jerusalem in the first place? Take your memories back to Abraham and Isaac. The tradition is that Abraham was told by God to sacrifice his son, his one and only son. And he walked for 3 days to the hill, the mountain. And there, he put up an altar and put his son on the altar. And he took the knife and he was about to kill him. And the voice from heaven said, no, you don't make the sacrifice. God will provide the lamb. And there was a lamb in the thicket that Abraham sacrificed that instead. And years later, Jerusalem was built on the mountain of that sacrifice. Jesus is saying the sacrifice that happens here is not what you people bring to offer as a sacrifice. God provides the lamb and it's me. What he's saying is that no sacrifice that we make will ever make God love us more than God already does. No efforts or attempts of our own to follow the laws, the rules, the regulations, and the commandments will make God love us any more than God already does, because God loves us more than we ever ask of him. And furthermore, when we mess up, when we break the commandments or fail to sacrifice, nothing we do will make God love us any less. Because God loves us more than we can ask or imagine. God loves us unconditionally enough to sacrifice what was most precious of all to God, God's one and only Son. It's wonderful. We don't have to do anything. That makes perfect sense. Really? Not in the world I live in. In the world I live in, the deal is, I do something for you, you do something for me. I do something bad to you, you have an attitude about me, or you even do something bad. I earn, I pay, and I receive because of what I do. I sacrifice, and then I get something in return. Isn't that the way the world works? If I do bad, I get punished. Jesus went to the cross without us earning or deserving. Jesus went to the cross without us doing anything to receive that gift of his life. That message, compared to the values of our world, is foolishness. The message of the cross is foolishness in the face of the values of our world. Jesus' own religion, the Jewish people, held the values then of the world. They were looking for the Savior
in the order and beauty and justice of the universe. We can see wise proof of God in the common sense of spirit and conscience that people hold, in the dignity and beauty and incredible order of creation. We can see that intellectually, but ultimately, you can't prove God is. That would be foolish to try. You prove God is by opening your heart and mind and find that the cross, the sign of love, is something that can't be found by wisdom. So, nothing you give up for Lent will make God love you anymore. And nothing you wrote on your pledge card, much as it will make the best for your nervous that I say this, but nothing you write on your pledge card will make God love you anymore. If you believe, as the world believes, that anything can be bought, the whole fact that we're here and following Jesus is foolish. But God's foolishness is wiser than all human wisdom. And God's weakness is stronger than human strength.
Still,
not about the numbers and our successes and failures in those ways, but about the heart of a relationship with our God. We pray, God, grant us wisdom and courage, lest we miss the kingdom's goal. Save us from weak resignation, the evil.